Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that we must do every time we gather on Sunday morning for worship is to hear the Word of God read. And along with that, to hear the proclamation of the Word. And so, what we do each Sunday that we gather here in God's holy house is to hear the Word of God read once from the Old Testament, one an epistle reading, and then one a gospel reading. And then we hear the proclamation of that word. This word was written a long time ago. It was written by ordinary people, just like you and me. It was written to people who are just like you and me. And yet, this written word is truly the word of God, because the prophets and the apostles that wrote it down, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the written word of God. And the thing about this word of God is it was not only written to all those people back then. It is written also to you and me. So you and I, we need to listen to this word and hear it as the word of God that is to us. Now, what do? If you show up to church and you hear the word of God read and you're thinking, man, that just doesn't seem to apply to me. Not on this day. It doesn't seem to apply to my life. And so you might be thinking, well, that's just, you know, or the sermon, it just may not be applying to you on that day. So what do? Do you have to wait until next week so that hopefully you'll hear a word of God that will actually apply to you? Do you get a week off from listening to the word of God read to hearing the proclaimed word of God? So what do you hear? What do you hear when Luke in the gospel reading says that Jesus told this parable to those who thought that they were righteous in themselves and to those who looked down upon others? If you hear that and you think, well, I don't do that. I don't trust in myself to be saved. And the farthest thing from your mind might be to look down on someone. So what do you do with that? What do you do with a parable that Jesus is speaking to those specific people? Do you just say, well, I'm going to take the week off because this clearly applies to other people, but not to me, not on this day. What do? What you do is you listen anyway. Because what you do is realize that no matter how you may be hearing it, no matter how you may be seeing yourself, whether it applies to you or not, this is written to you. And you need to hear this word of God that is applied to you. And what is that? It is that there were two men. These two men were one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. What did they have in common? They were both of Jewish ancestry, and they both exercised their religion in a similar way. They both went up to the temple to pray. But it is in how they are different that is really striking. The Pharisee. Who were the Pharisees? They were religious leaders. They were ones who knew the word of God. They knew it backward and forward. And not only that, but they strived with everything they had to live their lives in accordance with that word of God. They were the people that everybody else looked up to and saying, these are the people who live morally upright lives. If only we could all be like them. By contrast, there's this tax collector. And who were the tax collectors? Well, they also were Jews, but they were people who actually collected taxes not on behalf of their fellow Jews, but on behalf of the Roman Empire. You see, the Roman Empire did not swoop in to Palestine and overtake them. No, all they did is they said, you know what? You need to pay taxes. And so what are these tax collectors doing? They weren't Romans. The Roman Empire employed Jews to collect taxes upon their fellow Jews. So these Jews are like, you are collecting taxes from us for the evil and pagan Roman emperor. And as if to pour salt on the wound, the tax collectors were notorious for charging more than the stated allotment of taxes so that they could pocket the rest. So the tax collectors were universally despised by their fellow Jews. So when you hear this story that Jesus is going to tell about a Pharisee and a tax collector, you know what you're going to hear. You are going to hear Jesus talk about, show a Pharisee, picturing him in glowing terms, how good he is, how upright he is, and how you must strive to be like that Pharisee. By contrast, you're going to hear a proclamation from Jesus of the wicked acts of this tax collector, and how you should turn from your own wicked acts, and how you should vow to not be like him. That's what you're going to hear. Except, that's not what you hear at all. Jesus actually shows the opposite. This Pharisee, as he stands before God and prays to him, his prayer is all about himself. He thinks very highly of himself. In fact, so highly that God is the one who is thankful for this Pharisee, because I am not like all those wicked people, all those bad people, especially like that tax collector over there. I do not live as those people do. I'm not an adulterer. I don't cheat people. I don't live in an immoral life. And not only that, but I do those things, God, that you have commanded of me. I fast twice a week. I tithe of everything that I get. You see, the Pharisee, he knew of himself that he stayed away from those wicked things that God speaks against, but he upholds and obeys those things that God says to not do. But who is the tax collector? He is the one who cannot stand before God at all, but rather he's got to stand off to the side because he's so ashamed of being there. He knows that he's not worthy to be in the temple like all of those other people who are there who live holy lives. He can't even look up to heaven, and he's beating his breast, simply crying out to God for mercy. I'm a sinner. Jesus tells a parable in which you are not shown at all to be like the Pharisee, but rather like the tax collector. Shouldn't it be that we should hear from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ how you should emulate a person like the Pharisee who does good things and stays away from doing wicked things, and how we should not be like the tax collector is? That is not what we hear at all. Rather, we hear that it is the tax collector. He is the one we should be like. Because Jesus shows that the one who stood before God thinking he was the reason for his justification, that is, he had forgiveness of sins and salvation because of how he lived, of how good of a person he is. Jesus says that that man, the one who trusted in himself for justification, he was not justified. It was rather the one who despaired of himself that was in fact justified. Jesus, he knows you better than you know yourself. So if you are listening and you're thinking, well, you know, that doesn't really apply to me, you need to listen to what Jesus knows about you, because you should not be looking at all those good things that you do, or even about how you stay away from all those things you should not do, but rather you should look in here and see what is really in your heart, that you are in fact corrupt, that you in fact are a wretched sinner. It is not only that you sin, it is also that you are a sinner. If the worst sinner that you know is not yourself, you need to get to know yourself better. You need to get to know yourself the way your Lord knows you. And that is not by looking at others and comparing yourself to others, because you will always find people who are worse than you, and you will simply prop yourself up. But you need to stop looking at others. When you are standing before God, it's not about others. It's about you and God. And the only thing that you have available to you is nothing that you offer to God. It is rather what he gives to you, and that is mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is what you have. Look to God and pray that prayer. God, simply have mercy upon me, because you don't deserve anything good from God from what you have done or what you have stayed away from. In fact, the most upright and moral person that you could ever think of, in those days it would have been the Pharisees, they do not even come close to the one who was in fact perfectly moral, perfectly upright, who never looked down upon anyone. He is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived in perfect harmony with God's holy will and never once strayed away from it or went against it. And yet, what did he do? He humbled himself. In fact, when he went to the cross and was hanging there on the cross of Calvary, he turned it into an altar of sorts, lifting up a prayer to the Heavenly Father. And what was his prayer? It was his perfect, sinless, guiltless life, offering that up to God as the perfect sacrifice, his own blood shed on behalf of every sinner. And that includes you. It includes you who are the one who deserved that eternal punishment. But Christ took it upon himself. That is why you are shown mercy. That is why you are given. That is why you are saved. Now, in our readings, in our scripture readings today, we heard from another Pharisee. We know this Pharisee well. He is the Apostle Paul. And in writing to the Corinthian Christians, he said, "I want you to know what I delivered to you." When he wrote that in the epistle reading, what did he say it was? It was nothing else than what he had received. And that is, among other things, Christ, who died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, who was buried, and who rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. When you stand before God, there is nothing that you have to offer up to him except what is in here, and that is complete sin. And yet, what you have from him is his own son. It is in Christ. That is why you are justified. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.